You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, we're talking with Ruth Peters. Ruth, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
Yeah, so where are you now? You're in Amsterdam?
Yes, I'm in Amsterdam, in the middle of the canals. Yeah, but there is my studio, and so it's a very nice place. Yeah. To stay.
And so let's talk a little bit about what's happening in your studio. I want to talk about strategic thinking in a number of aspects of your whole career, but what are you working on now? Is it a particular body of work?
I just present a new body of work, and I'm still working on that, and that's about feet and about grounding. And I made ceramic feet and silver feet and from alabaster. And they have a certain kind of connection on the body with a harness, the ceramics with a harness, a leather harness. And it goes about the deformation of the feet and pain and suffer compared to be lovely and cuddling the feet when you are wearing it. So it's a very, very, very a strong emotion. And for that reason, it's also that the show is just closed, and the people had a big problem to see that as jewelry on their body.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because that's a very interesting issue, and I've seen this piece, and for, you know, the listeners, there's also links in this interview so they can look at this exactly, but it looks like a foot, a real foot. It's held in almost looks like a leather strap, as I saw the image of it, by its heel, and the toes are a little deformed. It's not like a Renaissance foot. It's a little twisted, So tell me, how is it supposed to be worn, and how did people react to the show? And describe the show a little bit for me, how it was.
The pieces are, they have a certain kind of deformation because I wanted to show this pain and suffer in the feet, but also the grounding on the floor. Yeah, that because I feel that when we are not grounded on the floor, yeah, we have no relation to the energy of what is in our planet. That's one thing, and that's the whole issue of the whole exhibition. And I present it as a certain kind of a celebration, and a sort of an altar in the middle, where all the pieces are on, and on two sides, curtains, where the ceramic pieces were hanging on the leather harness. And so there was, and then the drawings, I made always blind drawings, and the blind drawings were hanging beside the curtains. And everything was very transparent. You could walk through it. The curtains are waving. It was a very mysterious, certain kind of holy secret area in the gallery. And, I have to say the people found it maybe too much, or they were a little bit afraid about the tools, who were really not straight, or it was not about beauty, more about suffering. I'm not a jeweler who want to make only beautiful things. I hate that. I want that people think that they get a confrontation with my jewelry, and that's sometimes not easy.
Right, but also you're sitting somewhere. I mean, you're an artist, you're a jeweler. You know, there's different, I would think, audiences for both. There's crossover audiences. Is part of what was happening at your exhibition that, you know, the audience was more used to wearing jewelry that's about beauty as opposed to collecting art that could be disturbing? I mean, both are difficult, of course, but I'm asking about the audience and where the
point is that the audience, in the audience who are interested in my work are already far, yeah, in jewelry. They are not only thinking about the beauty, only the beautiful, yeah, diamonds jewelry, but they are really thinking in concept. But still, for them, it was maybe one bridge too far. And one of it was very very interesting. One of my interns, he wrote me an email and said, "Hey, but Ruud, you're digging a pond, and you think that all the people can swim directly in that difficult deep water what you're digging," and that's true. Maybe what I'm working 2.5 years on a project, and then it's out in the gallery, and then I ask for my audience that they directly understand, yeah, where I have been working already for a long, long, long period with.
And how are these pieces supposed to be worn? The feet
they,
that
they're,
were
they're
the
worn as and necklaces on the on the body, and some pieces are like a brooch, like a big. Feet on your shoulder, standing as a feet on your shoulder. That has also a certain kind of meaning.
I love that. So as a brooch, you know, it's pinned to your shoulder and looks a little bit like it looks quite a lot like a foot is almost pressing into your shoulder. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. It fits on the shoulder, so it has a certain kind. It looks like if the whole feet is going on the curve on the shoulder, yeah, and stand apart on that shoulder. So and that makes also a certain kind of power, to the people. And I think I can imagine that for people it's not easy to see that and to wear that, because it takes a lot of courage to walk on the street, yeah, and people
yes.
see you walking
yes.
with a piece like that, yeah.
Is this for men and women? How do you imagine
yeah,
a worn or what ages?
No, well, for me it's not the point if it becomes for men or women. I think it's more sexless in that case. It's more the meaning, it's the feeling and the expression. And the point is, it is difficult, yeah, because always the whole society is on our shoulder. Jewelry is about beauty, decoration, pretty, yeah, and I don't want that. I do something maybe against it, but not by purpose. I do exactly what I want to express, and that's a difficulty. That's a danger, or the difference between art, where it's allowed to do all kinds of strange things, compared to in jewelry. You have to fit the rules, and you have to follow the adornment, and you have to follow the way of pleasing the people. And I hate to please. I don't want to do it at all.
But so far this has worked well for you. Still, I mean, this is a fascinating piece, and I'm imagining wearing those myself, walking down the street, these feet on shoulders, and how I would interact with the world, or that would be different. But this idea of not reaching for typical beauty is something that you've been working on for several years, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's also I did other body parts like big lingams, penises, about seven lingams together as a bunch hanging for your genitals. And walking on the street is really something confronting the people, yeah? But for me, it was about fertility and about the creativity. Who was into the subject of the lingam. But to confront people with a jewel like that, it's a bridge too far. But still, the strange thing is, and I can't get grip on that, that my lingams I sold a number of lingams, and quite a lot, I have to say. But the feet are even more complicated than the penises. And I don't know why.
So explain that to me, because that's fascinating. I would think the lingams would be difficult to buy. I mean, difficult to sell and
yeah.
and difficult to wear in the right circumstance. But the feet even harder and or more controversial. Why is that?
No, well, I'm it's for me also just happening in the last month. So it's for me difficult to find it yet. But it's something that people use their feet just about walking around in the world and don't be aware about the energy and the positive things of what the feet are and what the feet are to carry us around, to bring us and to have the energy and all this acupuncture points in it and related to the whole body. Less people are aware of the high quality of what a feet is, and that's really something that maybe that obstruct them, or they're not yet there. Maybe it takes 2 years before they say yes, we can handle it.
And to be clear, the feet are made in silver and what materials? And were the lingams also made in a variety of materials?
Yeah, the lingams were made in glass, silver, ceramics. Yeah. And the feet are there are three series. There is one series made in ceramic and leather with a leather harness, and the other series is about silver chains and alabaster. And then there is a series of foam, which is very light, with a silver frame around as a brooch. So there are three different options in it, but it's still that you get in confrontation with the feet, and it's very interesting to see how people react on it. There were people also annoying at the opening. They were like, I don't like it. Yeah. And it's really, but I saw also people walking half an hour with one of my feet and cuddling it. Yeah, exactly what I wanted. Exactly. I thought that's really what I want. You put it on and you keep it with two hands and you start to give a certain kind of, yeah, cozy cuddling, yeah, as a pet. And
so let's talk about that a little bit. So one person or more is walking around holding the foot, and which kind was it? In a harness and just kind of.
Yeah, that was the big one. There was the big one. Let's say it's about 20 centimeters long. Yeah, and the harness is 70 centimeters. So it's hanging on your belly, and they and your hands are just on very close to that. And that makes it you start to touch it and feel it, and you feel the structure and you feel the tools and the nails and everything is then related to you. And I think that's for me exactly what I want. I want to bring over a certain emotion. I don't want to only present beauty or a certain kind of distance. I want that people get in touch with this, and it's not easy.
It is easy to create something like that, especially when using forms like a foot, which classically are always sculpted in a certain way. How did you arrive at that particular form, which is kind of parts of the toes are deformed and everything? How was that modeled?
Now, well, I have a problem myself with feet. Yeah, I have a problem to walk. Yeah, so I have mostly painful feet. So it's already for years that I feel pain. Yeah, when I walk bare feet on the floor, or on the ground, I have the pain. And what I did, I was making 1-2 months blind drawings, huge blind drawings about feet, and they're really aggressive and powerful. And then I jumped over to ceramic, and then I start to make a ceramic feet more or less in 1.5-2 hours, having the clay in my hand and start to form, yeah, the feet. And because when I couldn't put them down, because when you put the wet clay down, it falls, yeah, it's stuck together, yeah, it becomes flat.
Right.
So I keep it the whole time in my hand, and that was also the certain kind of cuddling also by myself, the feeling like it's a deformed, yeah, strange form, but still I was carrying it. It was that it's a little bit controversial, yeah, in the way I did it, but that makes that the clay dries during the process, and then after that, yeah, I could put it in the kiln, and yeah, and then the process starts by finding out what to do with it, and then I found, okay, I really want to have it as a jewel, because in the beginning it was not clear for me, and then the harness start to come up, and I'm very happy.
So it's modeled on your foot, really, and something very personal about your relationship to the earth and to the floor and to your feet, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have, I guess, a very particular relationship, perhaps, to our feet, or you make me think that more. But these were also modeled on your feet and how you are in the world, in a sense, right?
Yeah, some people say that they really look your feet. They look at your feet, yeah, when you see them. But there are a number of abstract ones who are not really related to my feet. But the beginning when I start, when they were very lookalike feet, they were really one by one. Yeah, a feet is the size of the feet, and it has that. Yeah.
Now let me ask you one more thing. In closing, you've gotten a lot of attention in the jewelry world, in the art world, a lot of rewards, and you've also talked about, you know, strategic thinking from time to time. You've built a very unusual career as I see it. You know, in between worlds and doing things that are controversial and not necessarily with a market or following trends at all. Did you think much about this idea of strategic thinking, which I know you've written about before, but in terms of how you're positioning yourself to the world?
Well, the first point is that I want to be independent and I want to do what I want. And I think this is, exactly. I don't follow the rules of the marketing, or that I make the things what I think that the marketing is, the market is asking me. No, I'm making something and I bring it into the market. And that is the way I'm thinking. And then, well, in the beginning I made a lot of books, in 20, 30 years ago when I started with my career. I made a lot of small books about series of work. So you could see the whole theory of work together. And when you buy one, you have even the whole theory together. At the moment, I jump into another area, and I'm making small videos, and I present them on YouTube, and the people can see on that. So I always wanted to show or give a small fingertip of the thought behind into an installation, the way I present my work in the gallery, or into a video, or into books, that I educate the people.
And you've always found that there was a place in the market for it. The market has supported you, even though that path was unusual, and you're kind of creating your own world, as you're saying, by educating and presenting materials that describe your world. You have found a way to engage the market, regardless of how unconventional some of your approaches are. So that seems also to me to be a kind of strategic talent, if you will, of yours, to be able to find a market for work that is so challenging to many people.
Well, the point is this, that I think there it's very unpredictable, I do my things, and I can't say if I sell it, yes or no. I only can do it, and I bring it over to the public, and I do everything what I want that I think that is necessary to bring it over here to the public, but I can't. It's not a guarantee that it sells. I only can trust myself that I make those things that they are good, yeah? That they have a certain kind of power, they have a mystery, what I call a flatus, that is a certain kind of soul into the pieces, that you feel energy. And that I can touch the people when they wear it or when they look at it. And that's my aim. And okay, if people want to buy it, that's fantastic. But when they don't buy it, then it's a pity, but I don't want to change.
Rook, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure.
I hope I could give a little bit a glimpse of the idea and the thoughts behind. Yeah.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.